Dear ones, for this evening's reading and our meditation, I'd like to turn to read with God's help from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13. Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, and I'd like to read verses 6 through 9. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Dear ones, on this portion of Scripture that we have read, we have a parable of Jesus Christ who really lays out for us. And how I came to this reading was really just a continuation of the thoughts that I had even this past Sunday and in the reading of what God's expectations are for us, the love, the commandment, above all commandments, that really leads us to righteousness, the fulfillment of the whole law of God. And really, this is just a continuation of that, because in this chapter this portion of Scripture that we read, we read what God's expectations are for you and me. And we would say, well, what is that? Well, it is to bear fruit. And so in this parable, Jesus is really repeating exactly what the prophet Isaiah in his song in chapter 5 of the prophet Isaiah writes, where he writes about the vineyard. And everything is identical that is written as it is written in this, other than one added element in the parable that Jesus spoke that was not in the prophet Isaiah. And that element is really the time that you and I are being found in right now. And that is that he answers here to the said the certain man who is the owner of the vineyard has a dresser, and he is asking the question, why, when I'm coming to this fig tree, I'm looking for fruit, I don't have any, why is it here? He goes, for 3 years, I've dressed it. And you know, even in the prayer now that we gave to God, we prayed of Him for our provisions. We thanked Him for our provisions, and we prayed for them. And this is exactly what God does. He everything that we have is from Him. We have to recognize that He is the provider of that. It is nothing of your own strength or mind that we have anything that we have. Everything is given to us by God. And so for 3 years, he says, I've come and I've dressed, I've done everything that is needed for this tree to bring forth fruit, and it's not bringing anything. So he says, why is it cumbering the ground? And when we think about that, God has the absolute authority. He the sovereignty, the authority over this tree. See, unlike you and me today, I can go plant a tree. I can go plant an apple tree. And I can dress it. I can do everything that is needed. I can water it and provide everything that is needed for that tree to. But the bottom line is that tree is not mine. I didn't make that tree. Where here it's different. God did make you and me. He created us. And he gives us life and breath. He gives us the oxygen we breathe. He gives us the food that we eat. He gives us everything that is necessary for our sustenance. And so he has a right to make a claim upon you and me. And that claim is, I want fruit. When we plant an apple tree, we come looking for fruit. If I have an orchard and I have 10 trees and I'm coming and I'm looking for fruit, I'm looking for an apple on those trees every season. If one does not produce, I have a right to cut it down. It cumbereth the ground. Because I can put something else in that spot, another tree, and it will bring forth fruit. So Jesus is given this parable with really a duplication of what Isaiah said, other than he says, Lord, let it alone this year also. And this is the year that you and I are found in right now. So he said, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And that really comes out in the hymn that we sang. Let's hear what the word of God has to say about Jesus. That's where Jesus comes to us, and he digs and dungs about our lives to show us who he is. Because when we ask ourselves, what is the fruit that Jesus is looking for from you and me? We can say, well, he's looking for no drunkenness, no profanity, no thievery. We could say, he's not finding that. But yet, there's still no fruit. There's still no fruit. So what is it that Jesus is looking for? We have to look at Jesus himself. Because when you come to an apple tree, you're right to look for an apple. When you come to a fig tree, as is written here, it's correct to look for a fig. When you come to a man, Jesus is looking for manhood. He's looking for that which he came to show what manhood is. He gave us the only example of manhood and what it consists of, and its service, its love. He did nothing, he says, of his own will. He came to do the will of his heavenly Father. And in doing so, he showed you and me what he looks for. In a woman, he looks for womanhood. And again, it's all personified in him. The example that he gave, the life that he lived, is the life that he looks from you and me. Is it fair for Jesus to look at your life and mine and ask that the fruit that we are to bear is the fruit of himself? Yes, it's right for him to do that. Because through his death on the cross, because if you and I feel that we can live a life and not have to live it in the fulfillment of Jesus Christ himself, then we are saying that his life and death on the cross was needless. We're saying that him dying on the cross was not necessary, because his death on the cross was to take our sin and to have victory over that sin. And his resurrection, then, through his resurrection, he imparts unto you and me the power to live the life that he lived. And so he is asking, as he looks at our life, he's looking for fruit. In the previous few verses, the call, again, is what? It's to repentance. Because he says, do you think that the Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered at the hands of Pilate? Do you think that those that the tower fell upon were greater sinners? He says, no. He goes, but I tell you, nay, no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. To perish means something far more than to die. Every one of us will die, but not every one of us has to perish. And if we're going to judge ourselves according, as we even mentioned this past Sunday, and even in previous readings that we read, if we're going to just judge ourselves according to our fellow man, we're going to always find someone who is, in my eyes or your eyes, is worse than me. In our eyes. And that's exactly what was taking place here. When Jesus tells them, do you think that they were bigger sinners than you? No, but they perished, and you will perish too unless you repent. So we have to look at ourselves then and ask ourselves, so God is, the husbandman is asking, coming to us, looking at my tree of life that he gives me, and he's asking to see fruit. Does he see it? What does he see? Is it barren? Does he see just leaves? Am I just cumbering this green earth that is his? The garden is his. The tree is his. The soil is his. And there's no fruit. And in not finding any fruit, he has every right to cut me down. And every one of us in this time that we are in, where we have an intercessor, who's saying, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig it and dung it. So now, if you and I are in that day of the Lord interceding for you and me, when will that day pass? You know, it's going to be different for every one of us. But the day was afforded to grow and to bear fruit. At what point can you and I, brothers and sisters, my dear friends, at what point can we just brazenly just keep going as if the intercessor did not give us that day Do we expect it to be a span of 10 years? Do we expect it to be a span of 60 years? How many years do we want? He said, let it alone this year. And we know that God's time and our time is totally different. It's totally different. And you know, what is life on earth? What is the fulfillment of life? Because he says here, you're going to perish unless you repent. And again, we can compare ourselves. I'm not, as the Pharisee said, like this publican, a sinner. And you know, in our own eyes, we can look at our own lives and we can say, yeah, I'm pretty good. Because really, that's what we do, unless we repent. Because if we don't repent, we're saying we're pretty good. Because the sin that we do see, that God does bring to us, when what does he do? When he shows us who he is. That's when you and I can see our sin, when we see him. But if I look at, I did this, and like we said earlier, if I'm not going to find those things, but I'm still not bearing fruit. So, as we read the great commandment to love the Lord our God with all our mind, our heart, our soul, our being, and my neighbor as myself, unless we do that, all the fulfilling of the laws of God without that are meaningless. I still perish. And so, when we ask ourselves, do I really love the Lord? We just really have to get down to asking ourselves, how do I react inside? How do I react when someone is against me? Do I want to expose them? Do I want to quickly show myself as better? Or do I get angry? And am I not willing to help someone who is in need, who is my enemy? Or I might view him as an enemy. I don't know that I have an enemy, really. Do you have an enemy? Someone that is after you in some way? But if someone doesn't really care about us, love us, wants to use us, and if we have it in our heart, like, oh, I'm not gonna do that for him. He doesn't deserve it. And you know, the list can increase and we can justify ourselves before men as we read this past Sunday. But really when we look at the fruit that Jesus is asking from you and me, it's really a fulfillment of that first commandment. Because in that fulfillment of that commandment, that is where you and I can bring forth fruit that God looks at and sees his son. And he empowers you and me. He gives us the strength to do it, to fulfill. Because he says here, I will dig about it. I will dung it. I will make sure that that tree receives everything that it needs. So that you and I, dear friends, brothers, sisters, are without an excuse. Jesus says, he who is not against us is for us. Who is not against me is for me. To be for Jesus, to be for him, is to know him and to love him. And the commandment that comes, you see that Jesus is not really asking here for pity. on this tree. You see, Jesus and God the Father are in absolute unison, one. They are one. He's not saying, have pity on that tree. Okay, it doesn't have fruit. It's not like the other trees, but, you know, he tried. He tried. No, there's none of that. Do you have fruit? Because they, without fruit, it goes absolutely against the holiness of God and the just nature and character of his holiness and who he is to say, okay, let's let the tree go. No, it has to be cut down. It has to perish. And so, for this evening, dear ones, as we look at this, these short few verses, there's great weightiness on it, on those verses. If it bear fruit, well, it'll be well with us. If God looks at your life and mine, and he sees those of us who loved the Lord Jesus, loved him, had a faith in him, a faith that followed him, a faith that did not care about this life, but cared about my spiritual well-being. And when God looks at that and he sees it, and it's well. And if not, then he says, after that, thou shalt cut it down. There's no room for you or for me, for any soul. Doesn't matter how you call yourself. Doesn't matter what you align yourself with. Doesn't matter how religious we are. Doesn't matter how many good deeds I do. But if the fruit of my life is not the manhood of Jesus Christ, then I have no fruit. And I'm to be cut down and to perish. And so, before that, Jesus said, unless you repent, you will perish. Today, brothers, sisters, today, dear friends, is the day that the Lord Jesus is the intercessor. Today. It's always about today. It's never about the next 10 years. It's about today. He said, if you don't repent, you also will perish. May those words drive us to our knees. You and I may not have time to pray. You and I may not have the unction to really pray. And that's because our love for him has dwindled. And so if our prayer life and everything else is lacking, and yet we say, the Lord's just going to have to carry me another day. No, he doesn't. He's interceded. When is that day going to end for you and me? God knows. I don't know. But it's for us to and not out of a sense of oh no, I better. It's really look at who Jesus is. Learn of him through his word. Learn of him. And does it not create that love within us that grows, that continues to grow and to blossom into faith that is demonstrated through our service to him as Jesus demonstrated, where my will becomes his? May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.